Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding sleeping. The same etiquettes which very long time ago we probably heard in the maktab, and inshallah we'll hear it again today. My dear respected elders and brothers, Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us even how to sleep, even how to retire to bed. What a complete deen. We hear of Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Before a person sleeps, he recites Ayatul Kursi, he's got his protection for the night. Regarding sleeping, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one sahabi, he's sleeping on his stomach. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected him. He said, what type of lying down is this? You don't lie down on your stomach. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected him and said, the people of Jahannam, they sleep on their stomach. They lie down on their stomach. Then we see Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's entering his Mubarak home, it's at night. But he's entering in such a way that it is softly. He's not disturbing anyone. The salam that is made, if a person is awake, he'll hear the salam. And if a person is sleeping, he won't be disturbed with that salam. Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us du'as to be recited before sleeping. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. This is the famous du'a. But there are many other du'as. Like how we upgrade everything else. The car, the phone, the house, the furniture. Then our du'as also we should upgrade it. Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us when a person goes to sleep, he should dust his bed. He dusts the bed and then he should go to sleep. Even regarding dreams, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, if it is a good dream, there is advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it is a bad dream, there also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got his guidance. If it's a good dream, a person should refer to someone who is knowledgeable, someone who doesn't have hatred for him, someone who there's no enmity between that person. That person should give you the meaning of the dream. He's got love for you, he's got the knowledge of dreams, then you refer it to him. Person sees a bad dream, then number one, he should seek the protection of Allah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Number two, he should spit 3 times on his left hand side. Number three, Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, then the side that he was sleeping on, he should turn his side and sleep on the other side. And number four, Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he should not mention this dream to anyone. Number five, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, now shaitan is happy. He made this person scared with the dream. So now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do something. And with that, shaitan will become upset. Now you woke up, you're in a fright. Wake up and perform salah. You are awake. So wake up, make the wuzu and perform some salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, we follow this procedure, nothing will happen to you. Then you see Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before sleeping, he used to apply surma to his eyes. Then the tasbih Fatimi, like how this 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. This is called the tasbih Fatimi. Why? Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it to his Mubarak daughter, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Like how this is for reading after salah, this is also for reading before a person goes to sleep. Then if a person is in need of ghusl, the preferable thing is make the ghusl before you sleep. But if a person has intention is going to make ghusl in the morning, then also Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that at least wash your private area, at least make the wuzu and then sleep. Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sleep, he would place his Mubarak right hand under his Mubarak right cheek and he would sleep. Then a person should sleep with the correct niyat, with the correct intention. One intention should be that this body doesn't belong to me. It is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give this body a rest. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the night for me and you to rest. Following the command and the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am sleeping. A person sleeps with the intention of tahajjud. He prepared himself for tahajjud. And then even if he did not wake up for tahajjud, he will get the reward of tahajjud. Then when a person sleeps, he should think of his death, he should think of his janazah. You see the Mubarak words, the dua of sleeping, Allahumma bismika amutu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't use the word Allahumma bismika anamu. He said Allahumma bismika amutu. Amutu comes from the word maut. We should think of our death. The day is going to come, we're going to sleep, we're not going to wake up. Only before Qiyamah will wake up. So a person should think of his death, make istighfar, talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then to recite our kalima before we sleep. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah takhal al jannah. That person whose last words were la ilaha illallah, he read la ilaha illallah, he slept away, he passed away in that sleep, dakhal al jannah, he's going straight to jannah. So we recite our kalima before we sleep. Then Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very strongly discouraged our chit-chatting after Isha. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very strong on this. That after Isha, as-samara ba'd al-Isha, then don't waste time after Isha. Whatever necessary, a person read his sunnah, he read his witr, now is not a time to waste time. Now is not a time to sit and idle talk. No, my dear brothers, now a person must hit the bed. Because his next communion is going to be at the time of tahajjud, at the time of fajr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person waste time after Isha, the tahajjud goes, sometimes the fajr goes. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very strong on this point. That after Isha, there shouldn't be any useless activity. Then my dear brothers, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us how to prepare for tahajjud. You see, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at night he would keep his miswak ready. The water for wuzu is ready. He's sleeping with the niyat of tahajjud. And when I wake up, I know my miswak is here by my pillow. The water is ready. And he's waking up, he's reading the du'as, he's reading the the ayat of the Quran, and he's on the musalla and he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes right till the first sky and the announcement is made. Hal min mustaghfirin fa aghfira lahu. Anybody wants forgiveness, ask, I am going to. Anybody wants rozi, mustarziqin, the biggest concern of today, then ask me, I will grant it to you. It's a time of acceptance. And then you see Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would wake up at the time of tahajjud, then also he wouldn't disturb the people of the home. He would wake up softly, the wuzu would be soft. And he wouldn't disturb. He was very considerate sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us, when we go to sleep, there shouldn't be anything sticky or oily on our hands, on our mouth. We wash ourselves properly before we sleep. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that person, he had some oil, he had something sticky on his hand, on his mouth. At night something came and bit him. فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't blame anyone except yourself. It was my Mubarak teaching that you clean your mouth, you wash your hands, you don't sleep with anything oily on yourself. Anything happens to you at night, then don't blame anyone else, blame yourself. Then you see Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use a pillow. When we use a pillow, we don't just hit the bed. I don't know if I hit the pillow first or I slept before I sleep. No, my dear brothers. We sleep with that niyat. That, oh Allah, my Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a pillow. I'm also using a pillow. This minimum resemblance with Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, you give me the tawfiq that I also imitate him in the other sunnahs as well. Then when we sleep, we face the Qibla. We read our quls. When a person is reading the last two quls, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, he He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protection from every sort of harm, every sort of jadu, every sort of evil, from the man, from the jinn, every type of harm, he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. And when he's reciting Qul huwallahu ahad and Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, he's showing his allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, my life is only for you. And oh Allah, I separate myself from every other religion, from the kuffar, from their ways. Oh Allah, I declare myself in my personal capacity, I am weak in my clothing, in my ways. But I know deep down, oh Allah, this is not the life for me. The life for me is only the deen shown to me by Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So to read our quls before we sleep. Then Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us to sleep on the right hand side, with the right hand under the right cheek. We start off like this, then a person can turn on his left hand side, on his back, and we mentioned in the beginning, but he shouldn't sleep on his stomach. The person who sleeps on his stomach, the people of Jahannam, they sleep on their stomach. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam corrected the sahabi. Then my dear brothers, there are surahs to be recited before we go to sleep. There are surahs of the night. There is surah Sajda, there is surah Tabarak, there is surah Waqia. When a person recites these surahs, person recites surah Tabarak, he'll be saved from the punishment of the grave. Surah Sajda will talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, this person used to read me. Oh Allah, put him into Jannah. Person who recites surah Waqia at night, he won't suffer poverty. We should have yaqeen and conviction on the words of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then my dear brothers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us before retiring to bed that we should check if there are any utensils, there's food in it, etc. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell the sahaba, cover your utensils. Cover your utensils. Don't just leave it open. Then my dear brothers, let it be something deeni before we sleep. Our elders encourage us, there should be some talim before we sleep. There's talim in the masjid after Isha. We listen to the Mubarak words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At home there's talim. We read some ahadith. Ramadan is coming. We read some virtues of Ramadan. And then a person went to sleep. Is that better, or to play some game and then go to sleep? To see some WhatsApp and go to sleep? To see the screen and then go to sleep? Is that better, or to hear the Mubarak words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then retire to sleep? Then my dear brothers, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encouraged us to sleep in the state of wuzu and to make zikr before we sleep. That person who makes wuzu and he sleeps and he passes away in that sleep, he gets the reward as though he is a shaheed and a martyr. He gets the reward of a martyr. That person who sleeps with wuzu and he made zikr and he slept away, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, at night, if his eyes open and he makes a dua, that dua will be accepted. Just for that wuzu, just for that zikr, how much does it cost a person? But so much of virtues behind this. So my dear brothers, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this. We should educate ourselves. I'm going to end off with one incident. Since it's the beginning of the year and big decisions are made. My son is going to do this and my son is going to do that. Alhamdulillah. But my dear brothers, there should be no compromise as far as deen is concerned, as far as deeni education is concerned. Our maktab, all of us, we're going to stand up now, we're going to recite our salah. Just ask ourselves, where we learned this salah? We learned it online. Where we learned this salah? We learned it from the kitab. We learned it from our ustad. We learned it in the maktab. And we want the same for our generations to come. With all the education and all the degrees, and we're not talking about that. But as far as deeni education is concerned, this will help us, it will help our generations. They will come to our qabr, they will read, we'll see the benefit of it in the hereafter. So there was a king, and his mindset was right. He understood that like we have dunya, there's a thing like deen as well, there's a thing like akhirat as well. So he had this son was coming up, and he got an ustad to teach his son. Listen to this incident very, very carefully. Hazrat Ji Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he mentioned this incident. So this king he got this ustad to teach his son. And naturally you get a person sometimes he's very, very weak. So the ustad started teaching the son from the basics. But the son also, this prince, he was so weak, naturally he was very, very, very weak. So if somebody is going here, he's coming out this side here. If he learned the sabak, now after 5 minutes he forgot his sabak. Or he remembered the sabak today, next day he forgot the sabak. So he's learning, he's forgetting, he's learning, he's forgetting. So the ustad also, he's employed by the king. So he can't take a chance. He went to the king, he said, let me just put my cards on the table. He told the king, you know what, this prince is very, very weak. I'm trying to teach him this deen, but nothing is going inside. So I thought I'd rather just tell you. Just now you'll say I'm wasting. The king said, listen, I employed you to teach him the deen. Whether it goes in his head or goes in his heart, that's a different issue. But you do your your part of the deal. So the ustad taught him, and everything was completed, all the kitabs, the syllabus, and after so many years, so now the last kitab was completed, and the king had a big dawat, big feast. Now my son, alhamdulillah, he went through all the kitabs of deen. So he had a big feast in honor of his son, that his son learned deen. And now, when everybody is seated, the royal family and the guests, everybody is seated. Now the king asked his son, he said, better come here. Just stand up and tell us something about deen. That prince, unka peshab nikal gaya. He's telling the king, Abba, you know me, I don't know anything. The king said, don't worry, you stand up, anything about deen, you just speak. So this prince, he stood up, he's so embarrassed, he's trying to think, what my ustad told me? He's thinking. There's nothing in his head. He remembered one masla, just one masla of deen. So he said that ruling of deen, and that also it was related to the monthly bleeding of a woman regarding haze. Just one masla of haze. He said this much and then he sat down. So those people in the crowd, those who could hold their laugh, they were holding their laugh. Somebody was looking that side, somebody was covering his face. The king knows, he knows everything. And then he stood up. Kalamul muluk, mulukul kalam. You know, when a king speaks, everybody must pay attention. So the king said, whatever your impression is regarding my son, that is good to you. But as far as I am concerned, if my son learned one masla of deen, to me this is more valuable than this whole kingdom that I am ruling. Because one day all this will come to an end. But I know this is a treasure for him that will last him in the hereafter, and it will last me also in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.